Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at American Greatness, about what is called counterfactual history. What if? This to do with the impeachment and the use of impeachment these last years by the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, Democratic majority, but chiefly by Nancy Pelosi, no longer the Speaker of the House and the leader of the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives, however, still intending to stay in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi led an inspirational impeachment wave after wave against Donald Trump during his presidency. The first time was disappointed in tension because Mr. Mueller did not come back with any basis for an impeachment. This has to do with the Russiagate hoax. However, there were two more impeachments where Ms. Pelosi and her counselors did go forward against Donald Trump. The first one I'm keen on because it has to do with Ukraine. Victor, a very good evening to you. You have many ironies in your new American Greatness piece. The one that is most enjoyable because I believe Mr. McCarthy of the Speaker of the House has now made an announcement that there will be an opening of an impeachment inquiry turning on the conduct of President Joe Biden when he was vice president. So the first irony that we need to explore is that Ms. Pelosi's impeachment of Donald Trump because he was on the phone with Mr. Zelensky asking for inquiries about the firing of a prosecutor and the influence peddling of the vice president. That was the impeachment charge against Donald Trump. And that impeachment charge, I ask you, that stopped further investigation, which now Mr. Comer and others at the House have now followed through. Is that not the ultimate irony? That first impeachment is now about to come back, except for like a rubber band, it snapped back in the face of the Democrats.
I think so. There were two ironies there. Once was the low bar of impeachment that basically was what the founders had feared, that when a president lost his majority in the House in the first term, he'd be impeached, sort of like a parliamentary vote of no confidence. And there was no grounds to impeach Donald Trump, and yet they did. And now they're outraged that anybody would even consider like treatment to Joe Biden. The second irony was that Donald Trump never threatened to cancel aid. In fact, he gave offensive weapons and advocated for javelins in a way that Vice President Biden and President Obama had not approved. And he, of course, did greenlight it. It was there. But his only hesitation was the premise that Joe Biden's family was corrupt and influence peddling. So we look in retrospect, that seems to be true. And to condense it, John, Donald Trump was impeached for something he didn't do, but those same charges are very apt to Joe Biden, who was not impeached. So what an irony. We impeached one president for something he didn't do, but the same charges apply to a president that so far has not been impeached. And I think that's what's bothering a lot of people about it. The other thing very quickly is we know now that the narrative of the left and even the mainstream media for at least 6 or 7 years that Viktor Shokin was a rogue prosecutor, that he was corrupt, that the Europeans wanted him out, that this was State Department policy, according to Joe Biden and his supporters, was not true at all. Our State Department had, in fact, commended him for some progress in rooting out corruption, and the Europeans had agreed with that. So Joe Biden was freelancing. And in essence, he was changing the policy of the United States government to fit his own particular family needs. And that borders on what Adam Schiff said was treasonous, which it wasn't in the case of Donald Trump, but a Schiff's definition of changing government policy for your own benefit might well apply to Joe Biden.
A quick recap of the events that Victor addresses. This will be, if the inquiry in the House of Representatives go forward, this will be a critical understanding of events. It was December 4th, 2015. I have this from an article published at by Andrew McCarthy in National Review Online. December 4th, 2015, in Dubai, a board meeting of Burisma, headed by the man who hired Hunter Biden for upwards of $1 million a year to sit on the board. In the Washington, several hours earlier in the day, because of the difference in time zones, the vice president was at his office waiting for his staff to approve responses to expected inquiries by the media about Hunter Biden's relationship with Burisma, and the head of Burisma being under indictment in Kyiv by Viktor Shokin, which Victor Hansen just mentioned. So what we have here is the events of one day. Hunter Biden is at the Four Seasons Bar with his partner. The head of Burisma travels to the Four Seasons Bar to make inquiries of Hunter Biden. What are you going to do for me? I can't go back to Kyiv. We're paying you. What is going to happen? I need influence. Someone has to come here and influence what's going on in Kyiv. We're told by Andrew McCarthy, reporting on the events that have been revealed in National Archives records, new emails, which have been redacted, but you can read them and understand. We're told that Hunter Biden then made a call to his father, the vice president, and all of them exchanged pleasantries for some time. That is not what's important. The vice president knew who he was talking to, the head of Burisma, who was his son's employer for $1 million a year. 4 days later, the vice president traveled to Kyiv to address the Rada, but also to make remarks about Viktor Shokin being fired. And that's what Victor connected to 4 days later. Now, Victor, that isn't proof of anything, but it sure is a mighty heck of a narrative when the House of Representatives bring out documents to support it. So far, I've not seen those documents, but I have seen Andrew McCarthy's summary of those documents, and I believe that's just good old-fashioned influence peddling. How do you regard those events all crowded together like that?
Well, it is proof of something, and that something is on three points. Number one, Joe Biden was lying when he said that he knew nothing of his son's business activities. That activity and call shows that he did. Number two, when he redacted that, or he changed it or recalibrated it to he did not participate in the business activities. Now he's gone and rejected the or disowned his prior untruth, and he's recalibrated and said, at least I didn't have anything to do with his business. That is untrue. And number three, it's the whole sense of the corruption, because everybody's question is, how could somebody with a drug habit history and such profligacy, how could he leverage a foreign company that was dealing in energy matters when he had no demonstrable expertise or experience in any of these things, other than the fact that he was then the son of the vice president of the United States. And so he proved that his worth and his only worth to the Ukrainians was his tie to his father. And you can see that in that exchange where they were asking him to get something done. And the first thing, something done, turned out to be was to get Joe Biden involved. And that's the, in a nutshell, the essence of the whole corruption, that Hunter Biden had no market value overseas as a lobbyist, as a fixer, or anything given his past history, except he had direct access to the vice president of the United States, and then perhaps somebody who might have been considered a candidate after his tenure for president.
The vice president himself made remarks about the events of those days, December 8th in particular, when he was in Kyiv. And as I recall, there's video of this, the vice president in a celebratory mood talking about how he had Mr. Shokin replaced or fired because he was corrupt. I want to make sure I understand. The vice president, in order to get that done, talked to Poroshenko, the president of Kyiv, of Ukraine at the time. This is long before the war and Mr. Zelensky. And I believe he said he would cancel cancel. Is that correct, Victor? Not hold
yes,
up, but
not cancel. Delay, as Trump had threatened, but cancel.
And that was the vice president's declaration on stage about how he had effectively made sure that Shokin was no longer a member of government. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, and it was part of the repertoire of Joe Biden's braggadocio. We saw that with his brags about taking Trump behind the gym and beating him up, or the corn pop saga stories. It's always that he, in this macho fashion, can get things done in a way that no other people can. So he was bragging on the Council on Foreign Relations panel about his decisive action, and he even kind of ad-libbed on stage. He looked at his watch to illustrate what he actually did. And he was proud of it. And he never thought, of course, that it was an admission, really, that he was doing things that were contrary to State Department policy, likely for the benefit of his own family in the financial sense.
And is it your measure that Mr. Comer and the House of Representatives under Kevin McCarthy are going to go forward with this investigation to give us clarity about those events and others? Because I understand China can get involved, so can Russia get involved. The widow of the mayor of Moscow can get involved. There's a whole arsenal of players here. We're just talking about one instance, although there does seem to be a pattern. What do they call it? The Biden brand was for sale? Is that how someone refers to it?
Yes, I think what McCarthy and the House Republicans are doing is going to the next step and saying these are all of the avenues of exposure and liability. We have Viktor Shokin's accusation that he took a bribe. We have oligarchs who say they have 19 phone conversations with the Biden family members. We have the IRS whistleblowers. We have the evidence on the laptop, the self-incriminatory big guy, pay the bills for Joe Biden, 10%. And we have the testimony of business associates, Devin Archer and Tony Bobulinski. And then we have 4,000 plus emails that were from Joe Biden to his son under pseudonyms. There was a reason there were pseudonyms. He didn't want them to be exposed. What the Republicans are saying, this is the playing field in which we're operating on. So we're now going to take all of these streams of evidence and tie them down and get these people under oath and get documents, and then we'll go to the next level. I think it's very smart to go systematically and not do what the Democrats did in the first impeachment, when as soon as Mueller folded, they were on to the next accusation. They had no special counsel. They had no real cross-examination. They brought in a few witnesses, but it was their witnesses, and it was a railroaded impeachment. And it was very quick. It was very quick. They did it before the first of the year. And it was also a few weeks, John, if you remember the first impeachment, it was just a few weeks after Donald Trump had announced his intention to run for reelection. So it was a conflict of interest because it went to the Senate, and you had people in the Senate like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders that were going to be potential candidates running against Donald Trump, who they were voting on to convict or not convict on the impeachment writs. So I think McCarthy is saying they did it that way, but we're not going to do it that way. We're going to be more systematic, and therefore we're going to have an impeachment inquiry, not a full-fledged impeachment, till we bring all of these sources together and get documentation.
I'm speaking with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution about the events of these last days and years, inquiring into the conduct of the then-Vice President, now President Joe Biden. We're going to turn to a counterfactual history. Victor has an article in American Greatness that makes me smile when I consider the possibility of what if. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.